The book of 2 Thessalonians is a brief epistle. It has only 3 short chapters, but we should not underestimate the value of this book because of its length. This book has unique instructions and details about some very important topics, and it has much-needed lessons and exhortations for Christians of all ages. To understand the book of 2 Thessalonians, we need to understand, remember, and appreciate the book of 1 Thessalonians. Because the book of 1 Thessalonians gives the background to what Paul discusses in this book of 2 Thessalonians. So what did Paul discuss in the book of 1 Thessalonians? Among other things, Paul emphasized 2 things in particular. Number 1, he emphasized the importance of work, labor. He talked about his work in preaching the gospel, but he also discussed the fact that he worked and labored with his own hands. Then he also discussed their work. He talked about their responsibility to earn a living and to mind their own business. You find all of that emphasized in the first epistle that he wrote to these Thessalonian brethren. You also find in that first epistle that he talked in great detail about the second coming of Jesus Christ. He said that they knew that Jesus would come like a thief in the night. And he also said that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So he mentions those that are alive and remain, and he uses the word we, and then he talks about the dead in Christ, meeting the Lord in the air when Jesus comes again. When we read the book of 2 Thessalonians, we need to remember this. We need to remember that there was a problem in both of these areas, and this gives us a preview of what we're going to find in this book. Number 1, we find that some of these people, in spite of the fact that Paul had set a good example before them of laboring with his hands, and in spite of the fact that Paul told them plainly in the book of 1 Thessalonians that they needed to work and earn a living, we find in the book of 2 Thessalonians that some of these people were not working. And so in chapter 3, Paul discusses that problem at length. Number 2, we find that some of these Christians at Thessalonica either misunderstood or were in danger of being misled about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So in the book of 2 Thessalonians, we find that Paul uses a great deal of space to address this issue. It begins in chapter 1, verse 6, and goes through chapter 2, verse 12. Paul says in this book of 2 Thessalonians that there was a danger of these Christians being deceived on this point. And so he warns in chapter 2, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. There were people at this time who were saying that Jesus was coming right away. They said that the second coming of Christ was imminent, that Jesus would come in their lifetime. And so Paul tells these brethren at Thessalonica that that will not happen. He said, don't believe those people. So this is one of the reasons why he wrote this book. But it may also be that there were some there in the church at Thessalonica that read too much into Paul's choice of words in the first epistle. Remember, as Paul described the second coming of Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, that he said, we which are alive and remain, that is, when Jesus comes again. And it could be, and many commentators believe this, that some of those people in the church there thought that since Paul said we, that he was literally saying that he himself and they were going to live to see the second coming of Christ, and that would mean that he was coming in their lifetime. And Paul didn't mean that. Paul did not say that. And he writes this book of 2 Thessalonians, perhaps, to clear up that misunderstanding. Now, many of those same commentators believe that because some of these people thought that Jesus was coming in their lifetime, they quit working because they didn't see the need to work for the things of this life and to save for the future if they thought the Lord was coming right away. It could be that those two things are connected. But as Paul corrects these problems, he leaves for all of us some great teaching on these topics. And in chapter 3, he discusses, in the midst of this controversy, another subject that is sorely needed today, and that is the topic of church discipline. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, and in verses 14 and 15, you find some of the most direct verses in the Bible on this subject. Now then, let's start with the text of this great book, and we're going to read, first of all, verses 1 through 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is almost word for word the same as Paul's opening in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Now, beginning in verse 3 and going through verse 4, we find the circumstances that these Christians were in. And the more you think about what Paul says concerning these people and the situation that they were in, the more you appreciate them and the more you're encouraged by them. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Paul said, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." Now, Paul says in verse 3 that he was bound to thank God, that it was fitting and proper for him to give thanks to God for these people. Why? First of all, because of their faith. He says, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. So these people were growing in their faith in spite of the hardships that they faced. The Bible says, not only did their faith grow, but it grew exceedingly. And this is what every Christian needs. This is what every child of God should strive for. The apostles once said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." Luke chapter 17, verse 5, that was the apostles themselves that asked the Lord this. And if the apostles needed more faith and they asked the Lord to increase their faith, that should be our desire as well. These Thessalonian Christians were growing in their faith, and they were growing exceedingly in their faith. Notice also that Paul says that he was thankful to God, not just for their faith growing exceedingly, but also because of the charity, that is, the love of every one of you all toward each other, abounds. This is what Paul had prayed for. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 12, Paul said, "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men." That was Paul's wish. That was Paul's prayer. But he also told them that they needed to increase their love for each other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, Paul said that they had love for each other, but he said, "We beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." And now, later, as Paul writes to them again in the book of 2 Thessalonians, he said that they had done exactly what he had hoped for, prayed for, and told them to do. He says, "The charity, that is the love of every one of you, all toward each other, abounds." And notice that he says that it's not just a few of these people who have grown in their love. He said, "The love of every one of you, all toward each other, abounds." And Paul was proud of this church. Notice that he says in verse 4, "So that we ourselves," and he's talking about himself and Silas and Timothy, "so that we ourselves glory in you." We're proud of you. And we compliment you when we're talking to other churches. He says, we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. Why was it that Paul was so proud of these people? Well, he goes on and explains even more in verse 4 when he says, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. These people were growing in their faith exceedingly, and the love of these people was abounding in spite of the fact that they were going through many hardships. Now, it would be a compliment to Christian people to say that they were maintaining their faith and that they were maintaining their love in spite of the fact that they were going through hard times. But Paul says, you haven't simply survived these hardships. You are flourishing. You are thriving. So hardship did not destroy their faith and their love. It made them grow. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, that is, various trials, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith works patience. They didn't lose their faith when times got hard. They grew in their faith. Their love did not grow cold in the time of persecution. Their love abounded in those times. And Paul was proud of these people because of that. That is a great example for Christian people today who are suffering hardships in their life. It is not only possible to survive and endure those struggles, it is possible to actually grow better and stronger through them. The Bible goes on to say in verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Now, it's important for us to pay close attention to what Paul is saying here, and we want to introduce this in this lesson and follow up on this thought in the next lesson. When Paul says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, we need to ask the question, what is he talking about? What does he mean by a manifest token, and what is this manifest token? The expression manifest token means a clear indication. Well, what is a clear indication here of the righteous judgment of God? And we have to read this entire context to get what Paul is saying here. Paul has just said that these Christians were being persecuted. There were people in Thessalonica who were making life hard and miserable for these Christian people. Paul says, which is a manifest token, a clear indication of the righteous judgment of God. So we ask the question, how could the fact that these Christians were being persecuted be a clear indication of the righteous judgment of God? That would almost seem to be contrary to the righteous judgment of God, simply because God doesn't intend for Christians to suffer at the hands of evildoers. So why would he say that the persecution of these Christians in some way was a clear indication of the righteous judgment of God? I believe it's this. These persecutors seem to be getting away with what they were doing. These persecutors were making life hard on these Christians, and yet they were not being punished themselves. They were not suffering like these Christians were, and it seemed to be unjust. It seemed to be unfair because they seemed to be getting away with what they were doing. But Paul says it's just the opposite. The very fact that these persecutors are not being punished now in this lifetime is a clear indication that the righteous judgment of God will be poured out upon them, and that will be when Jesus comes again. That is what we're going to look at in the next lesson as we examine the verses that follow.